For those of you that have your Bibles here, you want to turn with us and read with us. We're going to be in 1 Peter this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to begin with verse 1 and just see how far we go through the first chapter of this book, this epistle of Peter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I want to just stop there for just a minute and but we need to say something about Peter as a way of an encouragement. Peter is the only disciple when Jesus was sitting with him, and Peter was the one that said, "Lord, I'll never deny you. I'll go with you always. I'll never forsake you." And the Lord said to him, "Peter, before this day is over, you're going to deny me three times." And we know that Peter did that, because we read in a couple of the Gospels that Peter denied Jesus three times and said, "I don't even know the man." We also know that because of Peter doing that in his weakness, and he didn't know that he was going to do that. He didn't intend to do that. It just happened as he went through his little circumstances and situations, as he saw what they were doing to Jesus. He just come to that. That just happened. That happens in a lot of our lives. It's happened in times past. We've done things that we shouldn't have done, or said things, or spoken things that we shouldn't have spoken, and many other such things. And like Peter, I just want to tell you, I'm glad, and I pray that you will be too also, that God doesn't hold those things against you. Amen. Because he still appointed Peter as an apostle and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. And he became the head of the apostles, actually. Peter, James, and John. Amen. So I just wanted to encourage you this morning that I know we all fail. We all come short of the glory of God. Even after we become Christians, there's sometimes when we get caught off guard, or we get busy. It's not that we do bad things in this life after we become Christians. It's just that we get married. Well, that's one thing. We get married. Amen. Not that there's anything wrong with marriage. That's good. But there becomes issues in marriage, because we find out that we don't know as much as we thought we knew about each other until we get married. And then we find out, well, there's probably some things in her life or his life that I don't like. And so we go through some issues. Amen. And I just want to tell you, thank God that he understands all of that. Amen. And thank God also, 1 John chapter 1, I think it's verse 9, that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. That means that we can have fellowship with him and continue a fellowship with him, and that our bodies, he says, Jesus said, he'd never leave us nor forsake us. Amen? He said, "Lo, I'm always with you." Well, how long is he with us? He said, "Lo, I'm always with you until the end of the time." Amen? Isn't that wonderful? Praise God that he loves us that much. He loves you that much. He loves me that much. Sometimes that's very comforting to me, because sometimes I don't feel like I'm loved. And because of the battle, the spiritual things that we go through in our Christian lives, we right at first, God just takes care of us and he protects us because we're his children. But as we grow in the love and in the knowledge, How many of you realize that we grow in God's love and in His knowledge as we grow and as we develop? And we're to desire, the Bible says, the sincere word of God that we may grow thereby. So if you don't, you feel like you need to grow some more, get into the Word of God and start reading it. Because we need to sense in our bodies. And I don't say we need to go by feeling. I just need to tell you that the Bible wants us to sense. He wants us to know that we are in the presence of God. And that God loves us and He cares for us. I had a man came to my house here a while back to take care of some stuff for me. And as he finished, he said, Preacher, I want to ask you some questions. I said, well, go ahead. He said, do you ever just sense... He said, what do you know about the Holy Spirit? And I said, well, I know some things about the Holy Spirit. He said, well, have you ever just had a sense of the Holy Spirit coming upon you and you just put a smile on your face and you just feel like you're in the presence of God and it's just wonderful? And I said, sure, that's what the Holy Spirit does. And he said, well, I had that experience the other day. And he said, I just was driving along and just all of a sudden I just sensed God's presence and I just wanted to cry and I just wanted to praise Him and I just wanted to thank Him. And I said, is that the Holy Ghost? He said, the Holy Ghost. And I said, yeah, that's the Holy Ghost. And he said, well, thank God. He said, I'm so glad. Amen. And so that's one of the reasons we read the Word. I asked him, he said, well, I'd like to feel that more often. I said, most all Christians would like to feel that more often. I said, do you read your Word? And he said, no, I don't read it much. I said, well, start reading the Word. See, the Bible says, if we'll draw near to Him, He'll draw near to us. Amen. So as we read the Word and as we pray and as we draw near to Him, we sense His presence more in our lives. And believe me, you know, you see, when Jesus left the earth, He said, I'm going to send you another convictor. Is that what He said? What did He say? He said, I'm going to send you another comforter. Amen? Amen. I'm going to send you another comforter. As long as I've been with you, you've been comforted. You sense the presence of God. You know that sense of being in God's presence. And He said, when I leave, I'm going to send you another comforter. That means someone just like me. And He's going to comfort your heart. And He's going to comfort you. And He's going to be with you and give you an indication and let you know that by His presence, God loves you and that He cares for you and that He's with you and that He'll never leave you nor forsake you. You see, in the Old Testament, and I don't know what I was going to talk on. I'm going to get on Peter, but this is, don't lose your place. But I just feel like sharing this with you this morning. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon people whom God wanted the Holy Spirit to come on them. And that wasn't many, that was just a few. You with me? But in the New Testament, the Bible says that on the day of Pentecost, the disciples were all gathered together and they were praying, and all of a sudden, there ascended from heaven the Holy Spirit, and He fell upon all of them. And they spoke in tongues. Now, does that mean there is an unknown language and that people can speak in tongues? Yes, there is that gift. But in that particular case, and in some other cases I've heard about in missionary situations and cases, see, the Bible says they all spoke in tongues, but it also tells us in Acts chapter wherever that is, Acts chapter 4, I think it is, that the people heard them speaking, and they were speaking in different languages, languages that they didn't know, but languages that people, you see, that was the feast day, and that was the day when people came from all different countries around Israel, and they came in there, and they heard Peter speaking and the disciples speaking in their own languages and glorifying and praising God. Amen? And so one of the things is about tongues is just not, and I'm not going to get on to tongues right now, but I do need to touch on this. It's not just about so we can pray to God in tongues, because we need to know what we're praying and saying to God, right? And so that's why in the church the Bible says if anybody brings a message in tongues, they're not supposed to bring a message in tongues unless there is an interpreter present. Are you with me? And the reason for that is because the tongues are not just for you. It's for, just like on the day of Pentecost, it's for those people that are there so they can be blessed by what God is saying to you. Amen? Praise God. Thank God. So, Peter was an apostle. And I just wanted to point out, he was an apostle after he had denied the Lord three times. And I also wanted to point out to encourage you that if you've done something wrong, and I know this from experience, because the enemy, see, the battleground is our mind. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, I think it's 10, or 2 Corinthians, we war not after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thought that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen? And that's why the Holy Spirit is here. He wants to do that for us and in us. And so, and that's what he does. I'll send you another comforter. So Peter, as an apostle of Jesus Christ, was one of the apostles even after he had fell or sinned or done things that he shouldn't have done or said things that he shouldn't have said. To the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. So I want to say two things about here. I don't know how far I'm going to get through chapter 1. The Lord just said 1 Peter chapter 1 yesterday, so that's where I am. Pilgrims. He called believers pilgrims. A pilgrim, and if you're a Christian and you're here this morning, you're a pilgrim. So this is addressed to you. Amen? What does it mean to be a pilgrim? Well, first of all, it means that this world isn't your home. Amen? That you're on a journey. You're a pilgrim. You're just passing through. Second place, it means not only is this world not our home, but we have a new home that God has made for us over there on the other side. Amen? So, he wants us to understand that while we're in these bodies and we're living life on this earth, as pilgrims, we're just journeying through this place. We're just journeyers. Just journeying through. And this is not our home, and this is not our final resting place, because the Bible says that death is when the Spirit, that's who we are, the Spirit, when the Spirit is absent from the body, then the body's dead. Amen? So we are spirit beings. We live in this earth suit, this body, so people can see us. Otherwise, they couldn't see us, right? But we're also, if we're aware of anything at all, that there is a spiritual realm. There's more to it than just what we see. There's a spiritual realm. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people that tune into the dark side of the spiritual realm. They get into satanic activity, and they worship the devil, and they do things and they have by the devil's spirit, and they don't even realize that they're possessed by the devil, and they actually worship the devil. You with me? And the devil he knows more about the Word of God than most people do. He quoted the Scripture to Jesus. Are you with me? And in that spiritual warfare that Jesus had, we learn something from that just like Jesus had to resist the devil through the use of the Scriptures, so do we. We have to use the Scriptures. That's why we need to get into the Scriptures and memorize some of them and know some of them, so we'll know how to use the sword of the Spirit. The Bible says, in Ephesians, says, take the shield of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We have to put on those things. We have to take those things. We have to put on take the shield of faith. We have to take the sword of the Spirit. And that all comes from reading and hearing the Word of God and studying and joining together with fellow Christians and believers that will encourage us in our faith. Amen? So take the shield of faith, pilgrims, because we're on a journey, and this is not our final resting place. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for a new place, a better place. Amen? So to the pilgrims of the dispersion, verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father and sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. So, this scripture says a number of things that we could spend a lot of time on. First of all, it says, as a Christian, you are elect, which means God has selected you in His foreknowledge. Now, I've heard people say, in fact, one of the first things I run into as a young Christian when I was out witnessing, talking to people, a man told me, he said, well, you can't be saved unless God foreordains you. He has to call you to be saved. So, if I hadn't been called, or if a person hasn't been called, they couldn't be saved. So I said, I didn't even know how to answer that question then. So I spent some time studying on it. And some of the scriptures that God gave me, one of them was, for God so loved the world. That means every person from Adam and Eve that's ever been born and is going to be born till the end of time, God loves. God loves you, whether you like it or not, or confess it or not, or admit it or not. God loves you. And He loves you so much that while the Bible says, while we were yet in our sins, Christ died for us. For a righteous man, one would hardly die, but God commended His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, still in our sins, He sent His Son to die for us. His Son bore your sins, all of the sins that you could ever commit from the beginning of time, your life until the end of your life. Jesus bore your sins and washed us and washed you and all of us who are believers and Christians and have put our trust in Him. We have been washed in the precious blood of Christ. And we are made the righteousness of God in Christ. And it's not that we have our own righteousness. It's that we have the righteousness of God, because our righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags in the eyes of God. So it's got to be God's righteousness. Amen? So we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And because God has made His Son, made us to be His sons and His children through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we are in His family. God is now our Heavenly Father, and He has given us for confirmation and for comfort and for knowledge and understanding, He has given us the Holy Spirit ever since the day of Pentecost. He told Nicodemus in St. John, Gospel of John, chapter 3, except you be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. In order to be saved, we have to be in the kingdom of God. Nicodemus was probably at that time one of the most religious people on the face of the earth. He knew the law. He was one of the leaders. The Jewish leaders, the religious leaders of Israel at that time. And his question was, how in the world can somebody be born again? What do you mean, be born again? And Jesus said in the next chapter, except a man be born of the flesh and of the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And just as you had nothing at all to do with your birth into this world, amen? You cannot, we cannot, by anything that we can do other than confess the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and that He died for us on this, that's the only thing we can do. We can't do anything to be saved and put ourselves and get into the kingdom of God. We have to be born again by the Spirit of God. And the Bible says that when we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Amen? So that's what we do. And when we do that, we're saved. Now, I was brought up, I probably shared this with you before, I was brought up in a church, baptized when I was 12 years old, but I didn't know God from a lizard. I didn't know anything about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd heard about Him, but as far as knowing Him, I didn't have any idea what that was all about. My dad, he was so glad when I came and said, I want to get into the military. He said, which branch do you want to get into? Amen. He was glad to get rid of me. Not that he didn't love me, but that he just is tired of trying to put up with me and make me behave. Because I was wild as an Indian, wild, whatever. But one day, because I met a girl, my wife, before we got married, she said, I will not go with anybody that drinks, and boy, I drank like a fish or whatever, and runs around and does crazy things and wild things. And you're going to have to not drink, and you're going to have to go to church. Thank God for my wife. Because after we got married, we started going to church. One of the first things that happened to me after that was that at that church, the associate pastor was preaching on a Wednesday night, and I heard his message, and I felt something in me. I didn't know what it was. I didn't understand it, but I felt like that I sensed that I needed to come to the altar for some reason, but I didn't know why. And back in those days, in the particular denomination that I belonged to, when you surrendered to God, you surrendered to be a missionary to China or Africa or wherever, you surrendered to be a preacher or an evangelist, or you just surrendered to be something. And so I went and talked to my, he told me to go talk to my associate pastor. I said, well, go talk to your pastor. So one of the days of the week, the following week, I asked him, I said, I don't know what to do. I said, I felt, sensed something. He said, you just come, Lewis, to the altar this coming Sunday, and you just said, God, you just say, God, here I am, whatever you want me to do. That day, my life changed forever. I have never been the same since. And I had a hunger and a desire for the Word of God. It was like I didn't have the money because we were in the military and we were just barely getting along living. And so I had to go charge a Bible at a local bookstore, and it took me for, you know, maybe a month to get it paid for so I could get it out and have my own Bible. And boy, I began to read that and read that and read that. It was just like I couldn't get enough of it. And later on, God let me know, you belong to me. I want you to start speaking my word. And so I surrendered to preach. Or whatever. I just went back to the altar and said, here I am, Lord, whatever you want me to do. The first thing they did, and here I am 19 years old, they put me teaching the men's Bible class, and there was people in there 75 and 80 years old. And here I am 19. And then the first thing you know, all of the churches in that area begin, when their pastors were not there, they begin to call me to come and fill in for the pastor. So I started, And I learned how to, in my spirit, to hear the voice of God. I didn't hear anything audibly, but I learned how to, when God first spoke to me, I thought, wow, that's just something else. And I learned to hear in my spirit God's voice, and I learned to understand when He was telling me something. And that's what everybody, I think, that is called into the ministry and what God wants to use in the ministry, when they receive the Holy Spirit, that's what He does for them. Amen? He did that for me and other pastors that I've heard of and ministers that I've talked to. He did that for them. So I want to go back to the second verse of 1 Peter. You're elect according to the foreknowledge of God. I want to say something here, if I hadn't already said it. God's foreknowledge did not in any way interfere with your free decision. God's foreknowledge is based on what He knows because He's God. But it in no way affects your decision. That's a decision we have to make on our own. Amen? So I just want you to understand, because I had a man tell me, if God knows you're going to be saved, then you're going to be saved, and you don't have anything to do with it. It's God's foreknowledge, and that's not true. And then next thing, and I want you to notice in verse 2, is it's for in sanctification of the Spirit. Not only are we saved, but we've been sanctified. What does that mean? How many of you knew you were sanctified? That's what I thought. You were set apart. That means sanctified means you've been set apart for the service of God. You now belong to God. You belong to Him. You're sanctified. You're set apart for God. Amen? You're one of God's children. You've been set apart. We've been set apart. We're sanctified. Amen? And we're made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We're also sanctified And it's been by the Holy Spirit. And it's also the sanctification that we have in God, and what God has changed for us is for obedience, so that we now can obey Him. Before, we couldn't obey Him because we didn't know Him, and we didn't understand His Word, and we didn't have the Spirit in us, so we couldn't obey Him. We could try to keep the Ten Commandments or whatever else we were doing in a religious manner, but that didn't save us, and that didn't make us one of God's children. It was the Spirit that birthed us into the kingdom of God and sanctify us and set us apart for Him, and then gives us the ability to be able to function and be obedient to Him and His Word and the leadership and the direction that He gives us in our lives. And He does that. And I need to say this, because a lot of people just think that this obedience just has to do with religious things. They just think, well, that's... How many of you realize, as Christians and believers, God wants the very best for you? Amen? And sometimes the very best may not be exactly what you think it is. Amen? But God knows, God loves you, and He wants the very best for you. So if you'll just listen, He'll give you an advice in your finances. He'll tell you what to do in circumstances and relationships. He will tell us what's going on in our lives, so we'll know how to resist the devil, and he'll flee from us. He supplies our needs according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. And that's not just our spiritual needs, that's everyday needs. And there's been some times in my life when the Lord said, I want you to step out and I want you to go by faith. And I was working for an engineering company. I was making really good money. I'll just share this story because I want to show you something. And don't tell me that Some people, when I shared that story, said, well, that's just because you're a preacher or you're a minister. And I said, well, if you're a Christian, so are you. God's no respecter of persons. What He does for one, He'll do for others. You're one of His children, and He loves you. Amen? So, I needed a car really bad. I had a junk heap. And it was so bad, when I left Houston, Texas, and came down here and went to work for Reynolds Metals Company as a laborer, and I started pastoring a church in Corpus Christi as a part-time pastor because they couldn't afford a full-time pastor, so I had to work, and I needed an automobile. And I couldn't afford one. And so one day I was looking through the Life or the Time magazine, and I saw this brand new, I think it was a 66 or 67 Chevrolet Impala. And I just looked at that, and I put my finger on it, and I said, Lord, I want a vehicle like that. I claim that. You say, Brother Lewis, you've lost your mind. Well, I think somebody else might have told me that. I didn't tell that to too many people. And I said, I can't afford it, Lord. You know all my situation. You're just going to have to give it to me. Well, about a month later, for 2 months, it wasn't very long, my brother-in-law called me. He said, Brother Lewis, I just went to work for a big construction company out of Houston, and they're sending me to Africa, Nigeria, actually. He said, I'm going to be gone for a couple of years. He said, I just have this brand new Chevrolet that we just bought, and he said, it's not going to be doing me any good, so would you just come and pick it up? A brand new Chevrolet Impala. Didn't cost me a penny. Are you with me? God, see, it's not just, we need to get our relationship with God out of the religious realm, and we need to get it over into the realistic realm. When it says God is your heavenly Father, it means God is your heavenly Father. When it says in His Word that God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory, He means that He will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. We just have to trust Him. Amen? I want to tell you something else that God says in line with what I'm speaking right now. And you really need to get this. In James chapter 4, and I think it's verse 7, I'm not sure. You can look it up. I think it is in James. It says, you have not because you ask not. Have you ever asked God for something? Out of the religious, spiritual realm, have you ever asked God for to give you some money or to supply this need or to supply that need? Have you ever asked Him? And then it needs to be something that it needs to be you ask Him for something that you really need, and He knows you need it, and it needs to be asked for in a way, in a manner, so that when God gives it to you, you know that He directly answered that prayer. Because there's nothing more encouraging to our faith than to pray to God and ask Him for something, and then He does it. And then you be careful. It would be good for us all to be careful and praise God and thank God for everything that goes on in our lives except the bad things, because they don't come from God. The Bible says God cannot be tempted with evil, neither He tempteth anybody. Amen? So temptation doesn't come from God. Guess where it comes from? So, we have not because we ask not. And I didn't go out and ask God when I needed a vehicle. I'm going to have to stop right there on the second verse. I didn't ask God and tell Him, God, I need a vehicle and I want a brand new Cadillac, or I want a Lincoln Continental Town Car. Are you with me? I just said simply, God, you know I need a car. Would you give me a car? And if I'm going to have to pay for it, would you put me in a situation where I can pay for it? If I can't pay for it, well then just whatever it is you're asking for, ask God for something. Ask your Heavenly Father for something. Maybe it may be His peace. It may be His joy. It may be His love. Maybe you just need to sense the presence of God. That man told me the other day, wow, I have never sensed the presence of God like that in all of my life that I can remember. He said, is that God? And I said, yes, that is God. He said, well, I'd like to sense that some more. I said, well, get into the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. And then ask Him. Ask Him. Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? And that doesn't just mean I got filled one time 20 years ago. That means I need to be led of the Spirit. We needed to be guided by God's. Let me hear your voice. Let me follow your leadership. I need your directions in my finances. I need your directions in my relationships. I don't know, my job or whatever it is. Talk to Him. Amen. And then be patient. That doesn't mean get sick and go in the hospital or patient. That doesn't mean to be a patient. It means to be patience. It means to wait. and trust Him. And then in your heart and in your spirit and in your body and in your mind, start looking for and expecting an answer. Amen? Praise God. Let's everybody stand. We thank You, Father, for this day. Thank You for being so good to us and blessing us in so many ways. We thank You, Father, that You've given us the ability to be thankful and to be appreciative and to express that to You, because You're such a wonderful God and wonderful Father. And You're so good to us and blessed us in so many ways. Help us to be thankful, Father, always, and to trust You every day of our lives. Like Your word tells us, this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in You. Help us to do that, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Thank you for being here. Pray for us and pray for one another.